passionate instigator, and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. Welcome back. I took the summer off, most of the summer off. I actually had some confusion with a guest, so I hopped on in the middle of July for one show only, where we had Dr. Julie Rosenberg. But the rest of the summer, I spent relocating from the apartment that we first moved into our own house. Let's hear it for home ownership, shall we, audience? Woo, 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 woo. But I am now back and crazier and wilder than ever. So I know you're going to find that hard to believe because I was pretty crazy and wild before. But we're going to do our best to up the game. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, on the first Thursday of every month, we always have Through the Spiritual Lens with myself and Matt Connerton. Matt has his own five-day-a-week TV show called, radio show called Matt Connerton Unleashed, which is I'm going to miss the rest of the letters, 95.3 out of Manchester, New Hampshire, which you can listen online to as well. And you can always go to facebook.com/Matt Connerton Unleashed. For those of you who maybe have not tuned in for a while, we are a live call-in show. I think we've been a live call-in show now for about a year, so I probably should stop making it sound like it's a new thing. But, you know, I'm in my 13th year, so if we've only had it for a year, for me it is a new thing. Though I have done live call-in before when I was on CBS Radio. But we are a live call-in show. So if you want to be part of the conversation, you need to stand up, speak out, and dial that phone, 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Make sure you like the page because I'm a likable guy. And you will see today's show posted, and you can leave your comments there, and we will bring that on to the show. So now we're going to get underway here on the first Thursday in September. And that fall-like weather has already hit. I mean, it was only, my car said at one point, it was only 100 degrees out today. Can we hear it for global warming? Yay, global warming! Which doesn't exist. It's all fake news, so says our fake president. So we're going to now welcome on Matt. Matt, welcome. How are you?
I'm well, Dr. Kevin. And if I may, I believe that global warming is a hoax. And the reason I'm convinced that global warming is a hoax is because politicians who get a lot of money from big energy, big oil, coal, et cetera, tell me it's a hoax. And why would they lie?
You know, that's a good question. Why would they not?
Is the better question. That too, I guess. I suppose.
Why would they not lie when they can make lots of money and they can continue to make that income, that income disparity bigger, they can drive more people into despair, depression, apathetic behavior, so they're easier to control? Why would they not? Of course they would.
Sounds like a good deal.
So a lot of times when Matt's on the show, you know, because the rest of the month I have a whole variety of different guests, and I've got some exciting guests lined up for this fall. I've got Jody McDonald next week. Jody is a love expert. September 20th, I have Corby Mitlid, who is a longstanding, does past life mediumship psychic and stuff like that. At the end of the month, I have Gary Allen. So I've got some good people showing up. I've got some interesting conversations that are going to be happening. So make sure you tune in here at Om Times every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, Matt, you know, I don't remember the last time I've seen you in person. I mean, I haven't seen you for months, and I haven't made it into the Matt Connaughton show, and we were on hiatus here at the Dr. Kevin show. So take a second. Tell us how you're doing with that scratchy voice of yours.
Doing well. You're always welcome to join me here in Manchester. But the show's a lot of fun. I'm on 5 days a week, and regardless of how I'm feeling, and it's been a hot summer there in the studio, but or I should say here because I'm still there. Doing well and continuing to enjoy all that the Trump era offers in terms of content.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I have you on, and I feel like that there is, I think that it is important that people that may look at themselves as spiritual people, sometimes they look at themselves as above politics. And I look at the fact that their spirituality should require that they should absolutely get involved with politics, with the idea to raise the vibration, illuminate, shift, change. You know, if you want to make a change in the world, sure, spend 10 hours a day Oming, spend 5 hours a day looking into the skies and giving great messages, send out meditative things of love, and then run for office. Go out there and find somebody that's actually in action, having values that you would like to see, that is going to raise a higher vibration to this nation and henceforth a higher vibration even to the world. That is spirituality in action. Not sitting back saying, I'm too good to be involved with politics. I'm spiritual. That's a cop out. You get to be part of the world. If you know so much and you're so good and you are such a big ball of light, then get your big ball of light off that sofa. Get involved and make a change and make some difference in the world. What do you think about that, Matt?
I think it sounds to me, Dr. Kevin, like this is are you making an announcement today?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. Like you're leading up to something. You're going to is it going to be Dr. Kevin and Matt 2020? Is that what you're leading to?
Well,
'Cause
you
I'm
know,
on
that's an
board. I'm
interesting.
all in. I mean, I would
So
have preferred you
you'd
ask
be
me off the air, but
you'd run on the ticket with me for vice president?
yes. Or president, if you'd like to be VP, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't get into what Julie Dreyfus wears. I don't think I could do VP. It's
Oh,
just
yeah,
not my
great show.
just not but her style of clothing just doesn't do it for me.
You
So I
wouldn't
think I'll
be
just do
required,
president. Yeah.
but you could do more. I mean, Mike Pence doesn't wear women's clothing. It's not like it has to be that way.
I actually think it might be an improvement if he did. Anyways.
I don't think he would agree, but.
Well, then we might actually have some humor coming from our Veep. If nothing else, it'd be funny to look at. Anyways. No, I'm not announcing a 2020 run, though I do want to say that on an upcoming TV show of mine, because I do have the Web of Light TV show, and it is a weekly show that's carried by a number of different public access channels all across the country. And that shoots right out of here and out of Hudson, New Hampshire. I have a spiritual guy that's a shaman that's done blah 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 blah, and he's declared he's going to run for president in 2020. And I'm going to have him on the Dr. Kevin show, and he's going to share his 12-step platform.
Oh, very nice.
Of what he thinks needs to happen to change in the world. This is a guy that's got a military background, got a business background, but you know, his primary calling these days is to be a spirit, to be a shaman and a healer. And he's throwing his hat into the ring. And, of course, a couple of years ago, we had Marianne Williamson, who's very well known in the spiritual community, run for a Senate office. And she didn't win, but she was most known for her work in the spiritual community. So, I mean, there are some people out there that are saying there's going to be change, and the change has to start with me. Be the change, as the Dalai Lama says.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to see more people that would honestly step out and say, you know, this isn't about pretending to be Christian, pretending to be born again. This isn't about, you know, repeating rhetoric that's going to be semi-hypnotic so you can vote for all my hypocrisy and feel good about it. But people that are really willing to speak out. So, yeah, so I'm gonna have a guy who's thrown his hat in the ring for 2020 on my show. We're going to do a two-part show, and we're going to have, I think, 30 or 40 people in the audience, and we're going to do, yeah.
Well, I would like to know his position on farm subsidies.
Well, it's very interesting. I think that you should come, and I can talk to Lori, see how she'd feel about sharing. Either have you come on and be one of the moderators for our conversation, or very least you should step up in the audience. You should show up in the audience, and we'll make sure that your questions get answered. We're taping 11 to 12 and 12 to 1, so it's before you have to run back and
do your show. When is this?
First Monday in November.
First Monday in November?
I believe it's the first Monday in November we're taping. I have to check. Okay. It is November 5th, Tim Harris.
Well, I'm going to put that in my book because that would be delightful. Okay.
I think that there are several. I think that there are several people out there that could really make a difference. And if they stood up and they spoke and they did some stuff, and I think we could do some stuff on the local level. And the local level can be whatever level, whatever your locality is. I mean, this is a national, international show, the Dr. Kevin show is. And, you know, so whatever local is to you, just like if you tune in and watch the Web of Light show, which you can always, you know, catch the YouTube afterplay once it's been on air at My Dr. Kevin YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and put in My Dr. Kevin or Dr. Kevin and Web of Light, you can watch any of my old shows or Dr. Kevin and Friends, because
I
have a TV station on your broadcasting platform.
Yes, indeed.
So
at IPMNation.com.
IPMNation.com, thank you. So I do think it's important that we put our spirituality into our action. We put our spirituality into play. And I've got one of the things that's coming up is I am currently reading a book, and I want to know if you've ever read it, and it's called Daring Democracy.
Sorry, I had a gulp of water there. No, I've not read that book. I'm not familiar with it. Who's the author?
Francis Moore LaPelle and Adam Eichenschen, E-I-C-H-E-N.
Okay.
Are you familiar with either of those names?
I am not. I'm not familiar with these people.
Francis Moore LaPelle, author of a multi-million-selling Diet for a Small Planet and 17 other books, is a recipient of the Right Livelihood Award, the Alternative Nobel. Adam Eichenschen, I guess, is a democracy fellow at the Small Planet Institute, co-founded by LaPelle, a board member of Democracy Matters, and he serves as a deputy communications director for Democracy Spring. LaPelle and Eichen, separated by generations, are united in the movement for a living democracy and work together in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'm actually going to see if I can get him to either come on the radio show or maybe even come down and come on the TV show.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Go ahead.
Are you saying you've already read the book, or you're in the process of reading it?
I am about 2/3 the way through, actually a little further than that. I'm teaching a book discussion group on this book at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing a 3-part book group on it. And I'm taking some stuff out of the book. And one of the things I'm going to do is I want to come on your show because I have a list of things that we in New Hampshire could be doing that would help restore a more democratic system.
Mm.
Things that they're doing in other states. Some of these things, okay. You know, 12, 15, 17 states have already done. And so we know that we could do it. But whenever they list the states that are making these cutting edge things to do clean elections, interestingly enough, guess what one of the first states was that did clean elections?
Ooh.
Maine.
Oh.
Maine.
I'm glad I didn't try to guess.
Huh?
I would have been. I'm glad I didn't try to guess. I would have been wrong.
But there's whole lists of things that are going on that are grassroots and people that are that are making change by coming together. So at some point, I want to come on your show and talk about some of this that I've been uncovering and doing as part of my prep work for teaching this course.
Absolutely. I would love it.
So we're going to be going to break in probably like 90 seconds or so. So I'm going to warm you up. When we get back, I want to know what you think and what stood out to you in this thing that Elizabeth Warren is trying to get circulated around to take money out of politics, among other things. I'm sure you had to have discussed it on your show. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Interesting that I was reading this book and some of the things she was saying were definitely some of the things that echoed that you and I have said, that were echoed in this book, that some of these things, these organizations are now doing, these grassroots organizations. So when we get back, Matt Connerton and I are going to look at the Elizabeth Warren proposal for how to get money out of government.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one om at a time. Here on the first Thursday of the month, I have none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. Matt Connerton has a weekly, daily show, a daily drive-through show every week at 95.3 WMNH. I got the last two letters.
You got it.
I got it. WMNH. And you can find out more about WMNH at MattConnertonUnleashed.com, is it? Did I get
no.
that right?
Well, you can find out more about WMNH at WMNHradio.org.
And then you can also catch it on IPNation.com, which plays the replays, right?
Absolutely. And we carry it live.
And you carry it live.
Yes.
As well as you carry my show. Actually, you carry all my shows. You actually probably had to get a whole separate server just to put all my video up. and I continue to generate. So
you do have a lot of content, yes.
Yes, I do. And I've got a lot of, and you're behind. You're behind at least a good 50 to 75 hours of content that I've put out that you don't have on that site yet.
Is that all?
Probably more. It's probably over 100 at this point that you're behind, not that you have on.
Right. Uh-huh. Probably even more than that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm a content creating fool.
Yes, yes, you are. You're a CCF.
A CCF. So, what
That's
do you
what
think
the
of
kids
this?
Say.
This Elizabeth Warren bill to take money out of politics, is it just all fluff? Do you think that there's actually something to it? Is it something people should get behind, support? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and it's called the Anti-Corruption and Public Integrity Act. And no, I like it. I don't imagine it ever passing, but I like it. My personal favorite thing is requiring the IRS to release 8 years worth of tax returns for all presidential and vice presidential candidates. You know, and that is particularly appealing for currently for an obvious reason. You know, Trump won't show us his tax returns. So I like that. You know, there's the lifetime ban on lobbying for presidents, vice presidents, members of Congress, federal judges, and cabinet secretaries. Vox.com is a really good breakdown of exactly what's in this. And that's something I like too, because, you know, for a lot of these folks who serve, you know, it's supposed to be public service, serving in Congress, you know, serving the people, the constituents and whatnot. But for a lot of these people, you know, they get out of there and, Okay, cool. Sorry about that. For a lot of these people, you know, they're in Congress and then they get a lobbying gig, and it's like, it's one of those careers where you can really kind of fail upward, in the sense that you get voted out and then you go and make a gazillion dollars working for a lobbying firm. Who was it? Eric Cantor. I forget what state he was from. But he was primaried by David Brat. Now, Eric Cantor obviously was a pretty high-profile guy in the Republican Party at the time, and no one expected him to lose in a primary as he was the incumbent, but he did. David Brat was one of these Tea Party guys who managed to get him out. But, you know, then Eric Cantor just goes and works for a lobbying firm making a ton more money. So it's like, you know, it didn't hurt him any to lose, certainly. So, you know, he had no incentive to, I mean, you ultimately, you have more incentive to do the bidding of the donors than you do to work for your constituents, because that's where your next job is coming from, is the donors. So not only do they fund your campaigns to keep you in office, but then they're the cushion that you're going to have when you get out, you know, so you can fail into a bigger job.
Well, and there's a, you know, there is a big, one of the conversations that's going on right now, and I want to stay a little bit longer with the Elizabeth Warren thing, but is the whole thing of whether Brett Kavanaugh should recuse himself because of the hot water that's looks like it's getting higher. Now, maybe it's all hype. I'll be asking you to weigh in on that in a few minutes. But that he could be in a position of deciding stuff about this man, the man that's nominating him, who's nominating him because he's made statements that basically says, I'm going to let you get away with it. So
right.
We'll get to that. What else about the Warren bill, and what can we do? The people that are listening that are U.S. citizens, what can we do to push getting that passed? Is there something we can do? Should we be keeping the conversation about it up? What are your suggestions? Because you like it. What can we do to have our two senators vote for it, or our House of Reps vote for it when it comes up?
Well, I mean, there is no magic bullet. I think it's a matter of keeping the pressure on, you know, trying to make it an issue, trying to make this specifically an issue with every candidate. But I think what also would be helpful is, and I haven't watched this carefully enough, this specifically, to know, does she have any allies on this? Because obviously the system tends to protect itself. So I wouldn't think that a lot of people are going to be voting with her on this, to be honest with you. You know, they'll find excuses not to. But it would be very helpful if she could find an ally in this endeavor on the Republican side, because, you know, Elizabeth Warren gets made fun of a lot. You know, they call her Republicans, they call her Pocahontas and things like that, you know, and they tag her as being a socialist and all this. And it makes it very, very difficult for anyone who is not a Democrat to really kind of want to side with her on anything, because she's so polarizing. And I'm not even sure why, other than she talks about things that others won't, like, you know, getting the money out of politics. If she could find an ally in the Republican Party who's willing to help with this, that would help a lot too. So maybe we need to pressure Republicans to get on board with this. That's really it. It's just a matter of making it an issue, making it a top five issue, you know, talking about it a lot and really kind of putting it in the faces of these politicians and saying, you know, candidates and current office holders, and saying, do you support this? And if you don't, what is your excuse?
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's a million-dollar question. If you're not supporting this, we want to know why. Specifically, not
right.
Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to lose my PAC money.
Right. Right.
I want reasons. And could one of those, I mean, again, we're talking here in the state of New Hampshire. Could one of those co-sponsors be one of our New Hampshire people?
Wouldn't that be great?
That's what we can affect.
Right, right.
Maybe we should see if Senator Matt Connerton would co-sponsor with her.
I don't think we have a, wait, my uncle's not a senator.
I wasn't talking about his uncle. I wasn't talking about your uncle.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the other Matt Connerton. I'm not a senator either.
Well, I think we could change that, don't you? I mean,
I got a
lot of political opinions.
I got to focus on 2020 if I'm going to be your running mate.
I think maybe we need to look at 2024. So I think that it would be better if you went on to become a senator first.
Oh, I think you're procrastinating. 2024, please.
Hey, it could be too late by then, the way we're going.
Oh, my.
So so if you're out there and you've looked at this bill, have you looked at the actual bill? It's 289 pages.
Oh yeah, no, I haven't looked. I haven't looked through the whole thing, but yeah, there's a lot there. Yeah, well, as any bill will tend to be.
So, anything else about Elizabeth Warren before we move on to the Brett Kavanaugh last minute release documents? And should we be going after that he needs to recuse himself? What do you think of that argument?
I don't think it's going to get, I don't think it's going to get anybody anywhere. I really think that, he's going to get confirmed. I mean, there's no getting around it. You know, it was interesting to me the way that, I was talking about this. We really didn't get to this at all today on my show because we were so wrapped up in this, this thing about the New York Times op-ed. But I was talking yesterday about how, and I played some audio of Dianne Feinstein trying to pin him down on the on Roe v. Wade and how he feels about that, and he really seemed to come across as suggesting that he feels that it's settled law and didn't seem to have any interest in doing anything that would affect it or overturn it in any way. And I made the comment that, you know, he really has nothing to lose by taking that position, because, you know, every single Republican obviously is going to vote they're going to vote to confirm him no matter what. So, you know, he could show up in a Planned Parenthood shirt and it wouldn't matter. He's not going to lose anybody. He just, they're just hoping to pick up enough Democrats to make sure that, that he'll definitely be confirmed. But I mean, as far as anything else, I mean, look, when documents are being withheld, I certainly want to know what's in them, because obviously they're trying to hide something or a myriad of things. But I don't think the recusal strategy is going to work. I don't see that. I don't see that going anywhere. And I think there's a very strong inevitability to this. And obviously the Republicans are doing everything they can to make this hurry up and happen. The clock is ticking because they want to get this done before the midterms, because then there's also this question. And again, I don't think this is going anywhere, but there's this question about, well, is Trump an unindicted conspirator, and should we be really, is it appropriate to be even having hearings for a Supreme Court justice who's been appointed by an unindicted conspirator? And I mean, it gets, I'm not saying those aren't valid questions. I'm just saying, you know, if the Republicans can successfully get this done before the midterms, and I think that they can, I think it's inevitable. Brett Kavanaugh will be on the Supreme Court.
So I'm going to ask this question again, because I like asking this question.
Yes.
Is there anything that the person who is listening to the sound of the voice who says, I don't think that this man should be on the Supreme Court, is there anything that this person can do? Is there anything this person can do that will make a difference? And maybe the answer is no.
Yeah, see, I hate to say that. I hate to say there's nothing you can do. It doesn't feel good to say that, but honestly, no, there's nothing you can do. It's inevitable. He's going to be on the Supreme Court. There is nothing.
So, do you think that any of the people who are who may say, I want my voice to be heard, I want to be counted, I want my senator to actually represent me, is there any fires they can turn? Is there any way that they can make it, can they do any kind of rally that says there will be consequence for this action if you go forward? Or is there not?
No. Honestly, no. I mean, you know, the only thing I would say, for the Democrats, these hearings are a really good opportunity to, you know, maybe do a little grandstanding. Not that their cause isn't honorable in asking these questions, and you know, folks like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. You know, it's an opportunity to, because these are, you know, the 2020 candidates for the presidency, clearly, for the Democratic nomination. You know, these hearings are a great opportunity for them to shine. And they've really, Cory Booker especially, has really tried to make the most of it, which is very, very smart. And, you know, that's what the Democrats get out of this. There's nothing they can do to stop this. But what they can do, individual Democrats can do, is try to use this as an opportunity to sort of enhance their own images nationally and to really kind of look like they're trying, for lack of a better way of putting it, you know. And I think to that end, they've been, like I said, Cory Booker especially, I think, has been pretty successful at that.
Okay. So I know we're going to be going on break in just a second. When we go on break, when we get back, we're going to talk. What do you think about the Bob Woodward piece that has come out? And what do you think about some of this other stuff that's coming up? Is how much of it is hype? How much of it is reality? And obviously, any thoughts about this senior White House official who...
I got a lot of thoughts on that.
You got a lot of thoughts on that. Okay. Well, we're going to be having you back to share those thoughts in just a minute. I wanted to give you a heads up of what we were going to talk about.
Cool.
And there is the sound, and we're going to be going on break, and we'll be right back for the last part of the Dr. Kevin Show, which we know is called What a Load of Crap. And boy, will there be some crap getting spread, I'm pretty sure.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back for the last part of the Dr. Kevin Show here on OM Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one OM at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, it is a live call-in show. Be part of the conversation, 202-570-7057. Yes, be part of the conversation. We are talking about a number of different things, daring democracy. Brett Kavanaugh is a super, whether he should be recused or not. Is there a conflict of interest? And now we're moving on to a senior White House official. We are on today with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can catch Matt Connerton Monday through Friday on WMNH 95.3. And you can get that through IPMNation.com as well if you don't get that Manchester station locally, if you can't pick it up. Matt, so which do you want to talk about? The senior White House unnamed, or do you want to talk about the Woodard book? Which way? Where do you want to start?
Well, I'm particularly fascinated by the unnamed, the anonymous senior White House official. And I do have a theory about who it is. And I'm curious to know if you have a theory about who it is. But my theory, and it's not really my theory in so much as someone else laid out a really convincing, what I thought was a very convincing case as far as who it is, and I agree with that person. Lawrence O'Donnell on his program on MSNBC went through very methodically and through process of elimination, determined he feels that it is National Security Director Dan Coats. And part of how he arrived at that conclusion is, he said, it's someone with experience campaigning, you know, Dan Coats, a former senator, because you can tell by the way the letter is written, someone who's very concerned about national security, someone who specifically is concerned about the Russians and how we deal with the Russians. And he said it's, but it also has to be someone with nothing to lose if they're found out. He actually narrowed it down to either Dan Coats or Mike Pompeo. But he said it can't be Pompeo because Pompeo probably has aspirations to be president. Whereas Dan Coats, he's 75 years old. This is most likely his last job in government. He has publicly contradicted the president. In terms of Russia and who to blame for the hacking and so forth. And I would encourage people, I actually played the entire 10-minute segment on my show today, but I would encourage people also to, you know, later on, if you go on YouTube and search, you know, Lawrence O'Donnell's guess about op-ed, you'll find it very easily. But he very methodically, and he does a very good job, I mean, I'm just giving you the bare-bones version, he very methodically goes through and outlines his case for why it's Dan Coats. And I came away from it, from watching that, pretty well convinced that that probably is who it is. And, by the way, today they're all tripping over themselves and tripping over each other to publicly deny that they had anything to do with the op-ed. But there are two different types of denials that are being issued by these various officials. There's the one type of denial where they simply say, no, it wasn't me, basically. And there's a second type of denial where they say, no, it wasn't me, and then they go the extra step of insulting whoever it was by saying, you know, this person is a traitor, or this person is a coward, or, you know, this person is a lowlife or whatever and should resign. And Dan Coats is one of the people who, in his denial, he went the with the former and simply said, basically through a spokesman, no, it wasn't me. He also, and I don't have it in front of me, but there was a preceding paragraph to his denial talking about always trying to give the president correct and accurate information as far as national intelligence and whatnot. And I'm telling you, that paragraph sounded like it could have come straight from that op-ed. And I think that's a hint, because I think he wants us to know it was him. And I think it was Dan Coats. That's my theory. And I'm curious, do you have a theory?
I did not get a chance to investigate it as much as you did. I kind of sort of got to the place of some of the language was a little bit odd. And does sound a bit like Mike Pence. And, you know, you say, you know, of course, Mike Pence wants to run for president, and so he'd have a lot to lose if that came out. On the other hand, if it showed up that he had done it, but Trump had already was in impeachment or whatever, he could walk away looking like a hero.
That, here's, you know, well, yeah.
That this guy is a lunatic and that he was who was saving our country. Well, this lunatic, you know, of course, there were all these cries about, you know, invoking the 25th because of the op-ed piece, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, there could be a play involved with Pence being the one that did it.
The thing about that, though, is because one of the things, you know, others have said that, too. It could be Pence. And they some people are focusing in on something specifically. He used the word lodestar in the op-ed, and that's not a commonly used term, certainly not something you hear in everyday conversation. But apparently Mike Pence has a fondness for that word and often uses it in speeches. The problem I have with the Pence theory is Pence is one of those guys who, in his response to this, went further than just saying, no, it wasn't me, and was very insulting and condemning of whoever it was. And I just don't think he would put himself in that box. I think he would be much more measured with his words and much more careful to be one of the people who doesn't directly criticize whoever it was with those comments if it was him. But, I mean, it certainly is possible. Anything's possible. It could be any of these people.
Okay. Well, I wanted to bring it up. I wanted to have a little discussion. It's obviously a hot topic right now, and I've not watched the Lawrence case yet, but I posted what I found, and in fact, if you want to hop on My Dr. Kevin and take a look, because as you were talking, I was trying to find it on Google, I posted a link to something that says, that I think is what you're talking about. It was 15 minutes long. You said what you played was 10, but if you want to check that, if that's not the correct one, let me know, and maybe we can change it over.
No, that is it, because you're right. The clip is about 15 minutes. I only played about 10 minutes of it because then it goes to a panel discussion where, you know, he asks some other people their opinions. Actually, another possibility that came up in that discussion afterward was someone pointed out that, you know, it may be it may not have been one single person who wrote it. It may have been several people who collaborated on it, which is certainly possible because there is a lot of we and us. In the op-ed, you know, there's a group of us who are working together to make sure that, you know, Trump doesn't destroy the country or whatever. So, but it is intriguing. I love the palace intrigue.
So here's the question for you before we move on to the Woodard book. And boy, he's getting hit left and right. You know, I don't know since Nixon when a president's got hit so hard. And in fact, I think he may be getting hit harder than Nixon in some ways.
Yeah.
With all of this stuff coming out. But how much of that letter from the senior household, the senior White House staff, how much do you think is actually accurate?
Oh, probably all of it.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. Which is scary.
Very scary. What I haven't heard is, and if this has been said, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard anyone trying to say that this is some Democrat that made all of this up and pretended to be a White House, because I kind of expected that to come out at some point. Knowing the childish of the game that they play in Washington, but I haven't heard that. If it was said, I haven't heard it. Have you heard that?
No, and that's something that struck me right away too. Is, you know, nobody's really I mean, it's difficult. Like with Woodward, it's really he's so respected and so you know, his credibility is at such a level that it's pretty difficult to try to to try to contradict him. And did you hear the audio, by the way, of Woodward and Trump on the phone together that Woodward released, where, you know, Trump is basically trying to blame Woodward for the fact that they never had a conversation, even though Woodward would said repeatedly he would have loved to have interviewed Trump for the book?
Yes, I did hear that audio. And do you think that Trump, who we know perpetually lies, I mean, his lies are so bald-faced sometimes, nobody can say he doesn't lie. Do you think that was a lie, or do you think that these White House senior advisors that wrote this op-ed piece made sure that he didn't sit down with Woodward because they were afraid of what he would say?
That's what I was thinking. Yep. I think these two things are very much interconnected that way. I think that's exactly what happened. And maybe, okay, so you know what? Maybe it's Kellyanne Conway who wrote the op-ed. Because Kellyanne Conway, because she gets involved in the conversation. She gets involved in the conversation with Woodward and has to try to deflect when Woodward says to her, you know, Kellyanne, we had a whole lunch where we sat down and discussed this. Don't you remember? And Kellyanne's just trying to deflect the whole thing. So maybe she wrote the op-ed, and maybe she's the one who made sure Trump didn't sit down with Woodward, because she didn't want Trump to sit down with Woodward, because it would have been a disaster.
Yep. Well, it's interesting. I have not followed it quite close enough, and I know that you follow that you follow this stuff really closely. So I kind of depend on you to do my legwork. you're younger. You have better legs. The question is that what was her denial? Did she deny that those things ever happened in the White House? Or did she deflect the senior White House advisor letter as well? Because she deflected I heard her deflecting the Woodard thing, and I heard him calling her on it.
I don't remember exactly. You know what? I think with the op-ed, I'm trying to look it up really quickly, but I think with the op-ed, I think she was one of the people who didn't really say anything terribly insulting about the person who wrote it. But you know, see, what's very interesting too, though, about the Kellyanne Conway thing is her husband, George Conway, is constantly going on Twitter and bashing Trump. So, you know, maybe, and I always wonder what must be the dynamic in their marriage. But, you know, that he can get away with that. I mean, it's his wife's boss. What is this? Newsweek says, Kellyanne Conway says, New York Times op-ed author could be hundreds of people who don't even work at the White House.
Yep, I remember that.
Is she trying to misdirect? Because the thing we have to remember, too, is you've really got a whole group of people, right? I mean, it says it in the op-ed. You've got whoever wrote it, but they talk about we, they talk about us, they talk about a group of people who together are working to stall and try to hinder whatever Trump does. So maybe she wrote it, maybe she didn't, maybe Dan Coats wrote it, but she's one of the people in cahoots with Dan Coats and others trying to make sure that Trump doesn't, you know, ruin America.
And here is an interesting thought process. Did they try to time this to either A, be a diversion from the Bob Woodard book, because it definitely split focus? I mean, these are two pretty big stories, and the Brett Kavanaugh thing. So right. by throwing all the stuff out together and overwhelming the opportunity to criticize Trump and what's going on, was it meant to somewhat come out at this time to take the heat off the Kavanaugh hearing, to take the eye off the ball, and to make sure that either the House or the Senate went Democratic? Because that would put in a safety valve of some of what Trump could get away with. Now, if it's not
possible.
The Senate, they can't impeach him. But having a Democratic House would certainly hinder some of his more of his rashness.
Yeah, it's possible because it's right before the midterms. You saying that, though, just reminded me of something else, too, about Dan Coats. The op-ed references John McCain, who, of course, just passed away. And John McCain was a very close friend and confidant of Dan Coats. And Lawrence O'Donnell, in his piece, says it's very possible that Dan Coats thought, what would John McCain do if he was in my position?
Speak out.
So there you go.
That's what John McCain would do. Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. Always a pleasure.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.